FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and hey, it's getting to be that time of year again, and that time of year is Freedom Fest. And if you haven't been to a Freedom Fest yet, I highly, highly recommend that you attend. This is going to be my fifth Freedom Fest, but in fact, got Mark Skousen on, who started it. Mark, this is going to be the 10th Freedom Fest. You started it in 2007. Who would have ever thought that we'd be doing number 10 now? Well, congratulations on a major milestone in freedom and in your career.
Well, thank you, Kerry. You know, it is a I think it's a real triumph, not just for me, in putting this thing together. And it does involve literally hundreds, if not thousands, of hours in late night sessions and trying to put it all together when we now have 260 speakers. Wow. And so it's just a phenomenon. And the whole idea is to bring together the libertarian movement, the freedom movement, however you want to define it, in a very broad terms. And I've really felt that for many years we were losing this battle for freedom, and the only way we were going to be able to reverse the tide was to physically get together. You know, they always say we're like herding cats trying to bring people together, and we're all doing our thing. We all have our websites, and we have our blogs, and we have our programs and different events and stuff like that. But if we can all come together once a year, I think we can achieve something quite noble. And like Steve Forbes says, and Steve Forbes is a classy example of a speaker who normally comes in, gives a speech, signs a few books, and then leaves the very same day at a conference. But he recognized this Freedom Fest as something very special, where we come together, and he's there all 3 days. John Mackey's there all 3 days. Grover Norquist, a lot of people, including yourself, there for the entire time, because that's where the best ideas are fleshed out, and we find out what's our best strategy. You know, we just saw this recent event where Britain is leaving the economic.
I was going to ask you about that.
European Union. I mean, these things are significant. We're having an emergency meeting at Freedom Fest this year to discuss what are the implications of Britain leaving Europe, and maybe they will reverse themselves. I mean, who knows? They're having second thoughts after the collapse of the British pound and the collapse of the UK stock market, so who knows?
Well, Keynesians should be happy with the collapse of the pound, because that means their exports are getting cheap, and the market for British goods, whatever they still actually make, should be robust now, right?
Well, that's a good point, Kerry. You're such an astute Keynesian. That's very good thinking. I personally see it as an opportunity. Maybe I had seller's regrets when we sold our flat in London several years ago, and now maybe it's a chance for me to come back and buy it again.
Okay. Yeah, it's good opportunities, real estate, everything. But in point of fact, stronger currency really is better for the country's standard of living. We've seen this over and over again, the bad idea that a weak currency can somehow propel a country forward probably is not a good idea, and probably is one of those bad ideas that somehow develops a life of its own and keeps on going. But last year, Freedom Fest was notable in that one of the first appearances of the person who is now the candidate for Republican candidate for president of the United States. I mean, that was, I know you had mixed feelings about it. But nonetheless, look, I know you do, but had more attendees at the show last year for that. And he never said he was a libertarian. But look, he was there, And I think that our movement did benefit from his presence, no matter how you figure
that, it. Freedom Fest, it put us on the map. I mean, we were on TV all day with the Freedom Fest logo, and they MSNBC replayed his entire, carried it live, his entire speech. And you know, the thing is, what people don't understand is that Freedom Fest is, we're interested in publicizing our event. We want everybody to know, like CPAC, who we are, that this is a libertarian event. And this year, of course, we have Gary Johnson and William Weld coming, the two, the ticket for the Libertarian Party running for president. And we'll see if we get the same kind of publicity. I kind of get the suspicion we're not going to get the same kind of publicity. We did try to get Mitt Romney to come and endorse the Libertarian ticket at Freedom Fest. That would have gotten a lot of media attention. But we do have a big event. We have George Foreman coming and Don King, which is kind of fortuitous because Muhammad Ali passed away this year. And
correct, yeah.
I'm really looking forward to hearing what Foreman and King have to say about their relationship with Muhammad Ali, who in many ways was libertarian in his fight against big government and the draft, and his belief in religious freedom, and making the argument that his form of Islamic religion was a peaceful one. He made that point over and over again. And we certainly need more Muslims who support a peaceful exchange of ideas and religion and goods and services.
Absolutely. I want to tell you a story about Muhammad Ali. I once met him. I was only 11.
Really?
I was only 11 years old, a mere child. And I was in O'Hare Airport, and my brother-in-law was picking me up from a flight. And he said, look, there's Muhammad Ali. And he handed me a pen and a piece of paper and said, go get his autograph. And it's like, yeah, okay, I'm a kid, what do I know? And I went up to him, and this was right after his crown had been stripped. And I went up to him, and he was the most gentle person, and there was a nobility about him, Mark. There was a genuine nobility about him, because this is 47 years ago that I met him, and I still remember the look and a gentleness about the man that I remember to this day. And he signed it, you know, no hesitation. And there was a swarm of reporters about him. Even back then, we still had swarms of reporters for these types of events. And it was just a really amazing event in my life. I don't have the autograph anymore, unfortunately. Got misplaced somewhere. But it was just a really, really wonderful thing. And to this day, you know, it's something I will never, never, ever forget. So,
well, you'll be interested in knowing that we are dedicating a room to Muhammad Ali, the Celebrity Five Room, which is where we're going to have this reception with George Foreman and Don King. And when Don King found out that George Foreman was going to be there, he decided to come. So
that's great.
You know, who knows how libertarian these guys are, but they're certainly entrepreneurs, and they did a lot to raise the level of awareness and on racism and how they saw themselves. It really was a road to freedom for him and all of those people back then, and still is issues today. So I'm really looking forward to it. In fact, I have a autographed glove by Muhammad Ali, and I'm bringing it with me, and I'm going to have George Foreman sign it and have Don King sign it, because they were the big three in the Rumble in the Jungle in 1974, and that'll make a pretty nice collectible.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. And really, that's the thing about Freedom Fest. Regardless where anybody's at politically, you never know who's going to show up there and who's going to participate. It's really, it's special in that way. who's
there. Yeah, we last year we had Paul Krugman and Steve Moore debate.
I remember that was
electrifying. I was really happy with how that turned out. And this year we have John Mackey debating John Romer, who's a professor of political science and economics at Yale University and an avowed Marxist, or at least he was. Now he's a market socialist is the term that he prefers. But it's still going to be a really fun debate that's going to last an hour Thursday, July 14th at Planet Hollywood. We have about 1,600 people signed up already.
So is that right? Really?
It looks like it's going to be another great year. You know, it's been difficult because this is why we're not likely to see Donald Trump show up again at Freedom Fest is because it's just a few days before the Republican convention.
Sure.
And there's a lot of people who say they can't be there because they have to go to Cleveland and so forth. But on the other hand, we have a lot of people who are saying, I'm not going to Cleveland this year. I'm not endorsing Donald Trump. So maybe I'll come to Freedom Fest.
Yeah. Elections will be elections, but this one's different than truly different than all the others. I do believe that, and choose your poison. But Freedom Fest is certainly not about elections. It's about ideas, and it looks like our ideas are really getting out there, Mark. They really are in so many different ways, and we can go back to the Brexit. That was a blow for freedom. Wherever it winds up, it winds up. I'm not concerned about that. But for now, obviously it was an honest election because the good guys won, right?
Well, it depends on who are the good guys here, because there are two reasons why people voted to leave the EU. One was a good reason, the bureaucratic interference with the rights of the people. And there are lots of examples of overreach by Brussels, not only in terms of immigration, but also in terms of regulations.
Yeah.
I mean, they're even going to outlaw the tea kettle, from what I heard.
Yeah.
Not really, but I mean, those are the kind of rumors going around about government. So I would agree with that approach. However, if this is a vote for protectionism, if this is a vote for nationalism, these kinds of things are very dangerous. And if it's a vote against globalization, then no, we didn't win. We lost. So it's a real question mark here. Certainly the slowdown in economic growth that's being predicted as a result of this vote is not positive. And if everybody it's like the United States. A lot of people talk about secession. And by the way, we have this LibEx series, which is going to be a lot of fun this year, where we have libertarians making their most radical proposals. And one of them is a gal from New Hampshire, I believe, who's arguing for secession of New Hampshire, going beyond just taking over the local government, but seceding from the union. And people in Texas, there's a lot of people who favor this sort of thing, who are really excited about what happened in Britain because they see that continuing here. But the breakup of the United States is problematic. Yes, we can say we don't want to be dictated by what's Washington doing, and I understand that, just like the UK people didn't want to be dictated from what was coming from Brussels. But you have to remember that Ludwig von Mises made the very important point that the greatness of the United States was the fact that all 50 states had the free flow of money, capital, entrepreneurs, labor. And you could go from one state to another according to supply and demand. Yes, it disrupted certain states from time to time and so on. But that was the genius of the United States of America. And if you start breaking that down and everybody goes their own way and you start setting up barriers to trade and barriers to immigration by every state becoming their own government, you lose that sense of free trade, free flow of ideas and money and capital and labor, which is the genius of the American dream.
Yeah, you have a valid point there. But on the other hand, when you have states like California that that really are over the top, that have become extremist, and New York, where they're making it impossible for average everyday citizens to reasonably conduct businesses, and then they want to impose their will on freedom-loving states. How does this get resolved, Mark?
Well, that's where the competition between states is beneficial, and you can move out of New York, you can move out of California. But you're right, to the extent that it becomes a federal law, that's where you have a problem. And there's no question that the UK vote was a rebuke to Brussels. And these Brussels people, they better get their act together, because other countries are going to want to leave too. So in a sense, it's a good I think the vote was a good thing in the sense that it sent out a message, a very strong message, to back off and stop imposing all of these rules and regulations that are unpopular with local peoples.
Yeah, well, the whole concept of these unelected apparatchiks in Brussels imposing their will, whether it's getting rid of the incandescent light bulb, which I wasn't even aware that they banned it in the EU like they did in the US, these things are just wrong here. And Britain looked at it where they're sending a lot more money to the EU than they're ever getting back. Yes, Ireland and Scotland are getting more back than they're sending in. But
that's why they were in favor.
Yeah, funny how that works. Isn't that amazing, the way they buy off populations, vote-buying schemes?
But and, by the way, a lot of these rules and regulations, and they're coming out of Washington as well, and California and so forth, is due to this global warming hysteria. And that's why this year our mock trial, you're going to love this mock trial. We have put not the global warming deniers, we're not going to put them on trial. We're going to put the global warming hysteria on trial. And it's going to be fun. So Michael Shermer, who's from Scientific American, is the defending attorney. And he's going to have to stand up, and the judge, who's going to be Michael Medved, the radio personality, is going to be the judge, and he's going to accuse him of all kinds of crimes that are against his libertarian instincts, and he'll say not guilty, of course, but it's really going to be a fun trial to see what happens and how our jurors vote and stuff on this tough issue, which is going to be fun, because we have a star witnesses, top experts, scientists, physicists, climatologists from around the country, and they're going to take both sides of this issue. It's really going to be fun.
Yeah, well, I have my own views on global warming, the interest, or climate change, whatever the heck you want to call it. But I'll tell you what, the passion that comes from the left, the anger, the vitriol, when you attempt to have a rational discussion about this so-called climate change stuff is over the top here. I mean, they just get, you can't believe how they, the vitriol that that emanates from the left. They can't have a rational discussion about it here.
Well, Kerry, we are incapable. We are purporting to have a rational discussion, civil debate, if you will. All of our mock trials have been that way, and also somewhat entertaining. And we have a very fun line about Al Gore in there that I think everyone's going to enjoy that we've worked up in the script. So it's going to be fun. And we do try our best to have a civil discussion, and we don't use the terms left and right like you just did. Yeah. We avoid the demonizing. We think there are people out there that are willing to, I mean, let's face it, we're not going to get anywhere in this debate unless reasonable people sit down and have this discussion. And I'll go to the polemics and stuff like that, and we're hoping, and we've done this in the past. I mean, we put public unions on trial, we put the Republican Party on trial, and it's been people walk away saying, I learned something.
Yeah, that's important. That's really important. So dates, what are the dates here?
So we're talking in just a couple of weeks, July 13th, 14th, and 15th, and 16th, 3.5 days. We start Wednesday evening with our opening ceremonies, and we go through Saturday night, and we have a concert Saturday night with the Big Bad Voodoo Daddy Band, which is a very successful swing band that actually performed at the Super Bowl 1 year. They're going to be performing, and so we're from beginning to end, we're having a great conference. We have our Anthem Film Festival that my wife Joanne has put together, another fabulous group of documentaries and narratives, films. So it's 24/7 action, and anybody who's been there like yourself, you know that your head's swimming with so many activities. It's just really blows the mind.
Yeah, I can't wait. As always, it's a must attendance. And hey, just go there once. I guarantee you, it's addictive. You find it feels like you're coming home. That's what I felt the first time I went, Mark.
And, yeah, I mean, you have all of the freedom organizations and free market think tanks, and you run into so many friends. David Bowe said this at Cato Institute. He says, I was just amazed at all the different friends that I kept running into and had a great time. And by the way, if people go and register freedomfest.com and they use the code Salem, S-A-L-E-M, all caps, then get $100 off even now, and get that hotel rate, because the hotel rates, we have $109 a night, and that's about to change. So we're almost, our room block is almost full, so people need to act right away on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely, you want to be there and stay at Planet Hollywood. And hey, you'll find the details and the link in the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. And if you see me walking around the floor there, to come and say hi. And Mark, hey, I'll see you in Vegas in just a few weeks.
Yeah, Kerry, thank you. Looking forward to it. Take care.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.